So you have heard about who God is, since the He is capitalized, who He is as far as being faithful. You've heard about who He is as far as being loving, those characteristics. You've heard about who He is as far as being merciful. And Lady J, when she asked, she gave me omnipotent and omnipresent. And she, when she sent the text asking for me to do this, she was like, oh, I can switch you, you know, and you can do merciful and we can like switch up the word. I'm like, no. Because those two attributes of God are what I get to see on a daily basis as I work in that hospital and as I have been stationed at Camp Pendleton as a whole. So I'm an educator by trade, background in electrical and computer engineering, went on, yada, yada. My husband says I have degrees like a thermometer. So I like to give definitions for words so that we will all be on the same page when we talk about God being omnipotent and omnipresent. So I looked up omnipotent last night, dictionary.com. I was like, I know what I think it means, and I know what I've seen the scriptures show me that it means, and I've seen God flex so that He can show me what it means. So the dictionary said that it means almighty or of infinite power, comma, as God. And they actually put a capital G. I was like, good, somebody with some sense, because it's the capital G God that gets the omnipotent category, not the lower G gods. I'll talk a little bit about them later. And the second thing it gives is having very great or unlimited authority or power. Great, unlimited authority or power. And then omnipresent, we should all know this one. This one's a real simple one. Present everywhere, all at the same time. Present everywhere, all at the same time. Those two attributes of God. How many of y'all got your Bibles in here? All of us in a war. Well, Bible in any form, because I know it's, you know, we carry it electronically, makes it fit in your pocket a whole lot easier. Okay, so the first scripture I want us to, we're going to look at omnipotent. Because when I started mulling over this, and I was like, Lord, I know you to be this in my life. How do I explain that to someone else who may not have seen you in this level and in and to this power in their lives? And I was like, and it's a bunch of women. I was like, God, the odds of me seeing a whole lot of women in the military is like very slim to none. Like getting to talk to them on large. Lady J is like expanding my horizons when she brings me up there on Thursdays. I'm like, whoa, a sea of women that I get to see. So I want you to turn to Psalms, the 62nd chapter. And I brought my Amplified Bible because I love the way it just, I love the way it just breaks it down. So I'm going to read Psalm 62, verses 1 through 12 in your hearing. And I'm reading according to the Amplified version of the Bible. So it says, for God alone my soul waits in silence. For He comes, for from Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my defense and my fortress. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you set me upon a man that you may slay him, all of you? Like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence. The only consult to cast him, they only consult to cast him down from his height, to dishonor him, is what it has in parentheses. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouths, but they curse inwardly. My soul, wait only upon God and silently submit to him. For my hope and my expectation are from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense and my fortress. I shall not be moved. With God rests my salvation and my glory. He is my rock of unyielding strength, my impenetrable hardness, and my refuge is in God. Trust in, lean on, rely on, and have confidence in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us, a fortress and a high tower. Men of low degree in the social scale are emptiness, futility, a breath. And men of high degree in the same scale are a lie and a delusion. In the balances, they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Trust not in and rely confidently not on exhortation and oppression. And do not vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy and loving kindness, for you render to every man according to his work. I want you bookmark that one for meditation time throughout the rest of this week. Because David here, how many times is he telling himself to reassure us, the reader that gets to pick it up later in life, that God is where your refuge needs to be. God is where your hope needs to be. God is the fortress. He is naming God for who he is, because God is omnipotent, having great and unlimited authority and power. I like how he likens to men of low esteem, those that we may think we're better than. We don't think that they have anything to say into our lives. So he flips it and says, those of high esteem, the one that we usually try to run around. Oh, if this person knows my name, or if that person knows my name, I feel like I'm somebody because such and such knows my name. All of it's breath. All of it means nothing, because only power belongs to God. So if we think in our lives, because all of us are going to have trials and tribulations, and if you haven't had trials and tribulations, you haven't lived long enough. Or if you're not having a trial and tribulation right now, keep living. Or if you just came out of one, catch your breath, because there's another one coming. That's life. That's, you know, it's kind of like the resistance training thing. The only way you can grow muscles is if you put on more weight. Like the 5-pound weight is really, really easy. Give me a 45-pound weight, and then we got some strain. So you make it over one hurdle, get ready for the next hurdle. But in our hurdling, how many of us actually see God as omnipotent? Come on, truthfully. Truthfully, because I had to ask myself that question. Because a lot of times in the structure in where I live and the hierarchy of the church that I'm in, you got all these little structures. They tell you need to check this box, check that box, check that box. Then the military on top of that, check that box, check that box. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. But who is God really? And when we see God correctly as omnipotent, having great, unlimited authority and power, all of this other stuff, we can say exactly what Solomon said. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity, because God holds it all. So the next time the enemy whispers something negative in your life, it may be a statement of fact. He could talk to you about your past. You used to be, and you used to do, and this is da da da. You, yeah, that was then. This is now. And the now in which you live and where you stand is in the power of an omnipotent God. You need to constantly remind yourself of who God is. Because when the enemy tricks us into seeing God for less than what he is, we can be distracted by all the situations and circumstances that go on in your life. The fact of my husband getting called for a 12-hour shift in a town that is 62 miles, because he was in San Diego, so that's 62 miles in the opposite direction. And then I got the two kids trying to change it up between work. I was like, you know what? One goes to school. The other one can come to me for work. God, you will rearrange my schedule, and you will make the day flow. I have never seen the day flow like that. And I have my 10-year-old at work with me. No one said anything. I still did the counselings that I was supposed to do. And the one counseling that the Lord had me to keep on my schedule was because someone was searching to know Jesus more. He moved the nonsense counselings out of the way and made time, carved out time in my schedule only for the one that mattered for his glory. I was like, so I'm driving in traffic going, oh my God, I can't believe that. That was my day. And I made it home, able to change, put on makeup, get two boys fed. They're like angels today. I'm seeing the tangible presence of God all through my house. Like, y'all never act like this. I'm like, don't say it out loud. Don't say it out loud. I was like, okay, boys, let's go and get in the car. One time, and they moved, and everybody was in the car. I was like, oh, look at God. I'm like, boy, you really getting ready to show out tonight, ain't you? I'm like, you got the kids in line too? But that's an omnipotent God, which leads right into the fact that he is omnipresent. A lot of times the things that we would think and that we would say, which I love to remind my friends, if it weren't for Jesus in my life, you would not like me. Not at all. I am not nice. I am very sarcastic. I am mean-spirited without Jesus Christ in my life. And I tell people, I'm like, you really need to get into a relationship with the Lord, because so many times the Lord has saved you from me cutting you for acting a fool. I'm like, truthfully, the nonsense that you think of. And I'm like, God, I know my angels are like, we need a vacation. Send in the next crew, because she done worked us today. And I'm like, God, I know it's because of you and your omnipresence and your omnipotence that you can hold this in check. And realizing the God that we serve and the power that God has, when someone whispers to you, oh, you know, you didn't get this done and you didn't get that done, so you're more than likely not going to promote. And I'm thinking, so? And I didn't come to the military to promote anyway. God called me here for ministry, not for promotion. Because according to the word of God, it doesn't come from the south or the east or the west. Promotion comes from God. So if God wants me to stay in the military, he'll take care of that. I just do ministry. But all of those things the enemy would use as a distraction to keep you from doing what God is calling you to do. Each one of you in this room have a ministry. It may not be to open up and exegete a text or to have to go through 3 years of divinity school. Praise God. Y'all need to be shouting for that you're doing going 3 years of divinity school and all those crazy assignments that they make you do, like you don't have other classes, a life, and kids. But each one of us is called and set apart as a royal priesthood. And the reason we're called and set apart is so that we can show through the lives that we live that God is faithful, that he's merciful, that he is more than loving. If we really look at our own mess and the Samsonite luggage that we have with all those different outfits in it, and that he is omnipresent and omnipotent. We are called and set apart to be the light to the dark world. That's our calling. And that's the reason God wants us to know him in his power. All power only belongs to God. Only. I don't care how many riches Bill Gates may have. I don't care what level of authority certain people are at. They are only there because God still allows them breath. As soon as he takes back what's his, the mortician gets them. Truthfully. And if we ever get to the place to where we think, yes, I have this, I've got it, I got a good relationship with the Lord, he's using me this way, he's using me that way, I'm going to tell you all, even on our best days, we are only a sinner saved by grace. On our best day, I mean the best day, a sinner saved by grace. The cross equalizes everybody. So knowing a powerful God and knowing a God who is always present will allow for us to stay humble before him. It will allow for us to be able to, Tony Evans used an example this morning when I was listening to a sermon, one of his sermon series dealing with grace. If somebody told you that they were going to pay off all of your debt, all of the debt that you had incurred to this point, how would that make you feel? I mean, they paying off all of your debt up to this point in your life. How would they make you feel? Oh, yeah, somebody, some visual movement, thumbs up, yay, all of that. I'm like shouting out of my clothes at this point. They're paying off all of my debt, my student loans. But that's one point. What if they said they were going to pay off any additional debt that you made from this point forward? How would you live your life in gratitude towards the person who had paid off all of your debt, past, what you got in the present, and anything that you would have in the future? Because that's what Jesus Christ did, past, present, and anything that we were getting ready to do. So in a life of gratitude for the power that is set and the power of which we fall under, because we walk in that same level of authority. Just like we have by direction authority to walk in and set the atmosphere of any place where we are. If you believe God to be omnipotent and omnipresent, when you pray, when you link up with your Father and you walk into the atmosphere, you should set it like your Father would want it set. If you get up in the morning and you're like, you know what? I really don't care what happens today. God's going to get the glory out of my life. You're going to order my footsteps, and whatever it is that you direct me to do, that will be done. Watch how you set the atmosphere of your day. Craziness can come across. I'm not saying that craziness is not going to happen. We live in a fallen world. But when craziness comes across, your spirit will be set on your Father's spirit, because you linked up in the morning, and you will walk in that. You'll see crazy, but you won't take a ticket to get on the train with them. You'll just let the train go on by. Hey, I'm gonna pray for you while y'all are praying, waving and praying while they're going on with crazy. And the thing is if you work with other folk that are crazy, or if you're around craziness on a constant basis, your peace will cause them to be like, why am I on this train and you standing over? What is it that causes you to not ride with me on crazy? They will ask those questions. I've had that happen in my workplace. I kid you not. Our cubicle was the guitar over there to that little box and right to the edge of this. That was the cubicle of my office. And it was Dilbert's world. Lady on the other side of the cubicle didn't know God at all. My boss, I don't know what he had that day, or either he didn't take his medication that day, I'm not sure, but came in my office just flipping out. I mean, he threw stuff in my office off my desk. This is one of the times where I saw the tangible presence and power of God, because I sat there just eating my popcorn for lunch. You'd have thought I was watching a movie. This was 2:30 in the afternoon, and I'm watching him just throwing stuff, and I'm just eating popcorn. And I don't even know what he was yelling about. I was just eating popcorn, and the Holy Spirit revealed to me at 7:15 that night in my home what had happened at 2:30 in my office. And I was like, you have got to. And I started picking up stuff in my own house to start slinging. And the Spirit said, you do realize that happened 5 hours ago. I was like, I let that man act a fool in my office and I didn't say anything. I'm like, God, I don't want to be blonde at that point. I wanted to in his face. And he was like, I got this. Little did I know the lady on the other side of the wall was listening to the whole thing. So I come to work the next morning and she asked, so I heard Dave going off in your office and everything, but I never heard you say anything. She's like, and you went right back on to work and just went home just like nothing had happened. And I so badly wanted to tell her the Lord told me what happened and I wanted to cuss him anew. I mean, I really wanted to tell her how I felt, but I let her talk. The Lord said, you shut up. You know, you get to say nothing. Shh, 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 nothing from you. And she was like, how did you do that? And the Spirit released me to say, what you saw was the tangible presence of God. What's that? I said, that's how God will hold you and show his power when you are powerless. She was like, I want to know more about that. So when she would go out for a smoke break, I would take my 15 minutes and go with her while she smoked, and I would share. I let her ask me questions. I'd find it in the Word, or if I couldn't find it in the Word right then, I'd get back to her. We had another smoke break the next day. Years later, she emailed me to let me know that she had given her life to Christ. And she didn't even know I was in ministry at the time. But God will use us right where we are for his glory if we allow God to be God, omnipotent and omnipresent. Because a lot of time we want to stop God from being God. Oh, I got this. I got this. I know what to say. I got this. And then it's like open mouth, insert foot. Because that's usually what happens. We think we've got it. And then we muck it up. And then we're like, oh, God, you know, I probably shouldn't have said that like that. And I need you. Can you give me some correction notes for that? White out on that part of my life, because that needs to be redone. But knowing God for who God is. Okay, so y'all all have a sheet of paper. Oh, do you have your own personal paper to write on? Because there's two things that I want. There are two songs that I want you to take down that line up with God being omnipotent and omnipresent. So the first song is How Great Is Our God, and that's by Jonathan Nelson. There's probably several people who sing it. Jonathan Nelson just happens to be on my playlist. And there is Nobody Greater, which is by Vashon Mitchell. I'm sure somebody else probably sings it too. But those two are on iTunes. I want you to listen to that along with reading Psalm 62. Because this is where the enemy stops most Christians, is to have them not see God as big as God really is. The artist, okay, How Great Is Our God by Jonathan Nelson and Nobody Greater by Vashon Mitchell, V-A-S-H-A-W-N Mitchell. Put those on your playlist. Let it minister to your spirit. So, in keeping us in this, this is why I'm so glad that this was like the last one and I got to do this, because we need to set our mind on who God is as far as how much power and authority he really has. So, segue into your little note card that you have. I thought I had an example of one. There it is. Okay, you got a note card. You're the only person that can see this note card unless you're sitting real close to somebody. If you're sitting real close to somebody, scoot away. Don't look. Keep your eyes on your own note card. Keep your eyes on your own note card, because I want you to be real honest. You are going to write on this note card what it is that keeps you worried, anxious, focused on. I said worried, anxious, and focused on. I know y'all all in the Bible study. Y'all want to write Jesus on here. You going to keep it 100 with yourself. Keep your eyes on your own note card, because somebody may write down your name and you sitting right next to them. If they're going to be real truthful, they'll be like, ooh, she gets on my last nerve. God, if you don't do something with your child. And they may write down your name. That's why I said keep your eyes on your own note card, because I need you to be honest, because that thing is what you are going to focus on and really give to God, because there is nothing that is bigger than God. There is nothing that God can't do. Oh, there are a couple of things God can't do. God cannot be second. He will not be second. I'm going to tell you this right now. What's the first commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God and him only. God will not be second. He will not be second to us. He will not be second to anything. That is something God cannot do. And God cannot lie. So if you are reading the scripture and you see something like, write this scripture down, Isaiah the 26th chapter, verse 3. I think I did myself a favor and actually, yeah, I did. Isaiah 26:3. You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. This is how the enemy whispers and why he doesn't want us to see God as big as God is. Because if you can get our focus anywhere else, here's how the equation works. Your mind plus focus on God equals perfect peace. Your mind plus focus on God equals perfect peace. So if you can get your mind not to focus on God, that's these two sides of the equation, you will never get perfect peace. And he knows that. All he has to do is mess up one side of the equation. Mess with your mind or get your focus off God. And that's where he works. And a lot of times it's so we won't see God as powerful as God is. He'll get your mind focused on whatever it is you wrote on this piece of paper. Me, some preacher's dinner on this piece of paper. Can't say it out loud just in case we're recording. I'm like, but God knows. And he was like, do you want peace or not? And it's not any peace. He said perfect peace. Because everything God gives is perfect. He just don't give, you know, it's not a re-gifting. He gives you brand new and perfect. That's why he says his mercies are new every morning. He don't want you to use the leftovers from yesterday. He kind of like Panera. When they break it up and they're done with it for the day, they get rid of anything, because the next day they baking fresh bread. That's how God's mercy and grace is. New every morning. A lot of times we try to hoard it. Like Panera bread, we try to hoard it for the next day. Oh, no, I got it. He was like, why are you working on stale mercy and stale grace when you can get it brand new every morning? Put that down, come to me every morning and get the new stuff. But you have to see God as powerful and as always present. knowing that you can go to God every morning to get something new. The second thing I want you to write down, the second scripture I want you to write down, is in Isaiah as well. I love the Old Testament. I have to tell you, I love the Old Testament. Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. Because when you know God to be powerful and in all authority and that he is present all times, this is what you will stand on. He is telling them through the prophet Isaiah, do not earnestly remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Get it new. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive and know it? And will you not give heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God is trying so hard in this last day. If you just turn the news on and see crazy, there are several versions of crazy depending on which channel you turn it to. He is so hard in this day trying to tell the church, wake up, I am God. Wake up, I am God. All power belongs to me. I don't care what the situation is. I don't care what the circumstance is. I don't care if it looks like you're not going to have. Because as an African American and coming from a lower income family, when I knew my mom did not have, we never went hungry. The word of God said that. Never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. As long as my mom kept her focus and kept it on God, it did not matter that they laid her off. I don't ever remember when she lost her job. Or she was like, oh, that was a pretty good period of time where we didn't have jobs. I never didn't have clothes. I never didn't eat. I never saw us scraping. I thought we were kind of rich. Albeit, I guess, in my mindset, I didn't know what to compare that to. I didn't know she was struggling. But she stood on the word of God. And because of that, I'm blessed and reaping the benefit. My seed will be blessed and reap the benefit. We all have to know God for who he is. Powerful and always present. Okay, so this card, yo, Psalms 62, 1 through 12, you got an equation for perfect peace. So if you don't have peace in your life, check the other two, check your mind and check your focus. Because those are two things that we can control, and God gives the perfect peace when we do our part. And then Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. He's trying to tell us, wake up. He's God. Let him be God. God bless all of you and the work that each one of you are called to do. Don't shuck your responsibilities because you got this word. I'm going to tell you right now, the enemy is going to try to steal it. Probably even before you get out of this room, he's going to try to steal it. But remember, your perfect peace and what you are called to do is, we can control that. And if we, whatever we wrote on here, is starting to pop back up. All right, God, dealing with this again. I need you to be God. Help me, because that's what the Holy Spirit is here for, to be a comforter, a guide, a teacher. But you have to humble to actually let him guide and teach. You know how those some folk you work with, they act like they want to learn, but then they don't really want to learn. When you want to show them the right way to do it, they don't want it. That's how we act with the Holy Spirit, trying to give us the right way. It's like, yeah, it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy, but give it to God and let God be omnipotent and always present in our lives. Thank you.